Glad you are here. I want to say a special welcome to you and thank you for joining us at Second Baptist Church today. If you're a guest for the first time or first time in a long time, we'd love to connect with you, whether in person or maybe you've joined us online. In person, there's a card in the pew back in front of you, and you can fill that information out. At the end of service, you can leave that in offering plate or there in the pew. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and you can click and fill that information out. And it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today, how we might be able to serve you. And so grateful and thankful for that. And again, as always, on the back of your worship guide there, there's a QR code, and that's to get connected to our church text number. And so if you scan that, and it should bring up the text number and the message to send, and then that way when we send out reminders and so on and so forth, you can get those things and have the latest and greatest information here at Second Baptist Church, right? So anyway, just thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to today. Let me share with you a few things that are happening in the life and ministry of our church. And so excited about this week. Obviously, I like to eat, so I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving, right? But one of the things that we've been collecting and really excited looking forward to tomorrow, we've been collecting items for our food boxes. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much to all of you who have given, helped been a part of that. So grateful. And we have, our goal has been 15 boxes, and we're right at that goal, and then have the families lined up to receive those boxes. And I can't tell you the number of phone calls this week and just people really grateful. Talked to a mama this week that's doing all that she can to work and provide for her family, and she just was nearly in tears, just said, I didn't know where it was going to come from. And so this has been a tremendous blessing. And so excited about that, to be able to deliver those boxes. So with that, if you're available, have time, want to come be a part, we are delivering food boxes from 9 to noon tomorrow. And so if you want to come and help with that, and we certainly need help with that, we've got about 10 or 11 boxes that need to be delivered. The others we'll be picking up here from the church. And so if you'd like to just go and help deliver these boxes to families in need, if you'll be here at 8:30 tomorrow morning, but at the other end of the building here in the fellowship hall, we'll load those up, and you don't have to be a member to go. If you just want to go and help, that'd be great. If you can't be here at 8:30 and you come a little bit later, if you want to let me know that you are coming, let me know today, and that way, and you can give me a heads up when you'll be here, and because again, from 9 to noon is our plan for delivery. But if you're able to be here and can come help, 8:30, and we will start delivering those boxes. And so that's always a fun time and a great chance to get out and just try to be a blessing to folks during the holiday season, okay? So if you're planning to be here and you haven't, let me know. If you will, let me know. That'll really help me because we get here tomorrow morning, I'll build teams out and start sending you out. And so, okay. A few of the things that are happening coming up Wednesday night, because school's out, we will have no Wednesday night activities this week. And so kids, youth, college students, we're not meeting this week, and we will resume the week after. Then on Sunday, December 8th, if you'll notice in your bulletin, there's a Women's Christmas Craft Fellowship. I can't say that real fast, all right? So, but there's a Christmas Craft Fellowship, a get-together for the ladies, 4 o'clock that Sunday evening. My wife, Dadrian's heading that up, and so there will be a sign-up sheet out soon for that, and that should be a fun time. And then also, Miss Brenda will be heading up and leading a women's Bible study beginning January 2nd. That also will take place on Sundays at 4 o'clock, and if you are interested in being a part of that, if you would talk with Miss Brenda, we just want to make sure that we get you enough books and have enough plans for that, and that'll meet here at the church. And so a lot of great opportunities for ministry to be together, to grow together, and all those sorts of things. And so really excited about that. We're grateful Bob is back with us, leading us in worship this morning, and our worship team. And thank you so much for coming and helping us today. And looking forward to today. As I was getting ready to just walk up here, just reminded, man, the scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The Lord is worthy of our praise this morning. And so I'm excited about today, excited to share with you what I believe God's laid on my heart for today, leading into Thanksgiving. And then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper today, and really looking forward to that. And so grateful for you. Thank you for being here. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin to worship the Lord through song, okay? God in heaven, you are gracious and kind and merciful. Thank you so much for how you love and care for us. And I pray, God, today that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak right to our heart today. I pray you give us clarity, give us grace to be obedient to you, help us to respond to you in a way that you'd have us to. And Lord, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would stand, please, we sing this hymn together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercies, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him
for all eternity. And there will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, and in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. And there will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the so good. With every breath that that I am able, oh, I will speak of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
Stand with me as we sing that again.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy.
Father, we thank you so much that you saw fit as a holy God, separated from man, to see fit to send your Son, that we may have a relationship with you. That just shows how great and good you are. We don't deserve any of this. Nothing we've done can earn this. But Father, you have chosen to have a relationship with us. I pray now that you would open our hearts to how you may speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. I always look forward to Thanksgiving. I don't know if it's necessarily my favorite holiday, but it's certainly way up the list. I already mentioned this morning that I enjoy eating, and so I enjoy the festivities of Thanksgiving and that often surrounding a meal. But I have to confess to you that for a long time, turkey wasn't my thing because, in the oven, most of the time I felt like it was fairly dry, and so I went ham. I was a ham guy, okay? That's what I got. But then, I think out of the goodness of God, somebody had the idea where they took the entire bird and they dipped that thing in grease and let that cook. And then they brought that thing out and sliced it. And my gracious, I become a man that was after a turkey then, right? That changed my heart. That was good for me, right? And so I look forward to deep fried turkey. And then now We often smoke a turkey, so I really enjoy that. And the mashed potatoes. And I've been asking students, like, what do you have to have at Thanksgiving to make it feel like Thanksgiving? And for me, and I know some of you, this is a really polarizing dish, okay? I know some of you are going to turn your nose up. Some of you are going to be on board with me. But I have to have cranberry sauce, okay? I know it's polarizing, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of my personality, right? Cranberry. Now, here's the deal. Because we grew up poor, right? We were broke. And so when we had cranberry sauce, and I don't know if it's any cheaper this way or not, but nonetheless, we had the sauce out of the can, right? I mean, I'll eat your cranberry sauce if you make it. I mean, I know we're going to have our holiday meal. If you work hard and make it, I'm going to eat it. I'm in for it. But I still want the ripples on the can, you know, from the can, right? I'm just going to slice that thing, and, man, I'm here for it, right? So I look forward to Thanksgiving. Going to be an enjoyable time. But I also know that there are a lot of mixed emotions with Thanksgiving, right? Because oftentimes there are empty seats at the table where we gather, or we don't go to the houses that we used to gather at. And even just a moment this week, I texted one of my cousins. I have a cousin that's we're the same age, and I lived right next door to my grandparents. And so my grandpa, we called him Pepaw, Mama and Pepaw, he was... The girls were the favorites in his eyes, okay? So the girls did no wrong. So oftentimes my cousin would go and stay the night at their house. And the beauty of that is that grandma would get up and cook biscuits and make chocolate gravy, okay? And so go next door. And I'm just realizing, I didn't realize this was like an Arkansas thing. You know, I'd grew up with it my whole life. And I'm like, I'm here for chocolate gravy. Anybody not ever had chocolate gravy? Yeah, amen. Well, we'll pray for you, okay? You're missing out. So anyway, I've got a lot of opinions on food, so we'll just keep moving. But I know that Thanksgiving brings a lot of mixed emotions. There's a lot of joy and excitement, and man, it's good in a lot of ways for a lot of people. And then I know for many of us, and for some, as families dwindle and just life happens and things happen and some graduate onto heaven and so on and so forth, that it brings about a lot of mixed emotions. And so this morning, I want to preach to you this message that I've titled, In His Will. I don't know what brought you in this morning. I don't know why you came in and joined us this morning, what's been going on in your life this week. But I would venture to say most of us, if not all of us, would say, hey, Pastor, yeah, I want to walk in the will of God. I want to be obedient to the will of God. And oftentimes when we think about what's the will of God for my life, we're thinking about oftentimes some big significant decisions, and rarely are we necessarily thinking about regular everyday type stuff. Well, this morning I want to give you some things from Scripture that it's clear, because he tells us this is the will of God. And so this morning I'm going to share with you some really simple things that we can unequivocally say, this is the will of God for my life. And so if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Verse 16, the Word of God says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. God, thank you for the simplicity of your word this morning. I pray, God, you would teach us. God, we'd take and apply it to our lives, and God, that we would be more like you. And so, God, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray if anybody doesn't know you, I pray you'd save them this morning. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, really, just a real simple text this morning. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's just giving them some real clear direction from the text this morning. And he gives this, if you look at it, it's just one sentence. And so it's all tied together here, and it wasn't uncommon for Paul to do this as he's kind of writing his letter, if you will, kind of one foot out the door. He just kind of... Man, shotgun style, let me just give you a few things here as I'm getting ready to wind this letter up. And that's what he does here, the church of Thessalonica. And so just real simple text this morning. And the main idea, if you're taking notes this morning of the sermon, is this, of our text, obedience to the Word of God is the will of God. Obedience to the Word of God is the will of God. Oftentimes we're wrestling with these ideas of what is God's will? What is God's direction? What does God want me to do in my life, or want me to do tomorrow, or want me to do in this next season of life, whatever it may be? Well, as you're wrestling and thinking through those things, let's begin at the simplest, easiest answer is right here. You can find the will of God for most all of your, from the Word of God. Now, there are times where God speaks to us, but often through His Word, and gives us some specific directions about a career change, or about school, or about a relationship, or whatever it is. Like, there's some things God gives direction. Now, most often, He still ties it to His Word. But in the Word of God, we can find there are some very clear things of Scripture that we know God wants a part of our lives. We don't even have to pray about. Now, calm down, okay? We're going to talk about prayer, all right? But there's some things I don't really have to ask God about, because He's made it really clear in the Word of God this morning, and we have a few of those we're going to look at in our text this morning. So the key question is this: are you allowing the Word of God, or are you allowing the Bible to direct your life? Are you allowing the Bible to give direction to your life? It's a great a bumper sticker, or T-shirt, or silicone bracelet to say we have life's playbook and all those kinds of things, and it's accurate and true, but it has to be more than a bumper sticker. It has to be more than some slogan, some catchy quote in a bio of going, man, this really does have to give direction to our life. This really does. This Word of God that is thousands of years old, written by 40-something authors and 66 books, an infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God that does have this this date to it, yet it is perfectly timeless. And it is spoken to all Christians of all generations, and it's applicable for life today in November 2024. And it's going to be applicable should the Lord tarry in the days ahead. So we need to allow the Word of God to direct our life. So there are three truths from this one sentence, these three verses, that I want us to look at and think through as we approach this week. Number one, let's talk about the will of God. Number one, the will of God is for you to always rejoice. The will of God is for you to always rejoice. Notice verse 16. Really simple. Rejoice always. Hey, by the way, fun trivia. You know, if you want to kind of Jesus juke your friends and you have the trivia question, what's the shortest verse in all the Bible? Usually people go to, hey, Jesus wept. But in the Greek, rejoice always is actually shorter. So file that away, okay? You can sound really spiritual at your next trivia night if that comes up, all right? So, but rejoice always. It's very short. It's only two words in the Greek New Testament. And so, but just very direct, rejoice is a command. We have three imperatives, three commands here. And so it's the will of God for us to rejoice. But what we've got to understand here is that this rejoice is, there is a difference between rejoicing or having joy and what we think about with happiness. See, happiness is often related to or tied to circumstances, tied to how we're feeling or what we're going through and all those sorts of things. But rejoicing, what the Bible is talking about here, actually supersedes our circumstances. Happiness, the emotion of feeling happy and feeling good, all that sort of thing, is often directly associated with what we're going through, how we're, all those kinds of things. But what Paul is writing here, he's saying, rejoice always, and always supersedes any circumstances that are going on. So how do we do that? How do we find that? We've got to change our eyes. We've got to change our eye level. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Paul gives us some direction here to understand how we can have joy, how we can rejoice always. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Meaning that my flesh suit, I'm dying. Every day I live, every moment I live, I'm just that much closer to dying. But spiritually, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, the Lord is renewing that day by day. That's what he's saying, okay? So continue on, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What's he saying? Well, he says light affliction. Well, Pastor, he doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know I lost my job this week. He doesn't know I'm having marital issues. He doesn't know all these things. He says it's light. He's not calling it light because it doesn't seem real or it doesn't feel weighty right now. Listen to what he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What's he doing? He's trying to help change our perspective and going, it's not that what you're going through is not painful. It's not that what you're going through is not worrisome or difficult or hard or any of those things. He's saying what you're going through is but for a moment, especially or specifically when it's compared to eternity. Okay? He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let me translate that. God is working it for your good. He is doing things in your circumstances and in your life that you and I can't see, and we may never see till we get to heaven. And he's saying, your situation, it is difficult to see past it or beyond it because it's here and now and you're living in the middle of it. But he's saying, dear friend, it's only but for a moment. Now, it may feel like your whole life, but even in relation to your entire life, for the weight of eternity, the length of eternity that's coming, it's but for a moment. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So how do we do this? How do we, if this is the will of God, how do I rejoice always? Well, this is the way in which we do it is we got to change our eyes. My eyes tend to focus on the temporary. My flesh tends to feel the weight of it right now. This situation, this change feels like I'll never get out of it. It feels like it's never going to end. It feels like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. And what Paul is saying here, writing to the Corinthians, he's saying, look, it's a light affliction because our life, the scripture says, is but a vapor in light of eternity. And so although it may feel like you are absolutely consumed with it right now, one day, when we step from this life into eternity, we're going to realize it was but for a moment. Furthermore, he gives a promise, and we'll see this even later in the sermon, gives a promise that it's being used for our good and his glory. And so how am I going to rejoice in the midst of a season like this, in a time where sometimes all we're reminded by is who's missing and what's missing and how difficult things are? It's going, man, my emotions, I'm not going to allow those to be tied to a situation, but I got to change my eyes and not look to the temporary and look to the eternal. Furthermore, not just the duration of eternal, but the person who is in eternity, and that is Jesus. And going, man, there, although days are difficult, nights are long and lonely, and the unsurety of what's next can be overwhelming, here's what you can be sure of. The same God who's walked you through your life, the same God who has been consistent and faithful, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You'll never find a season, you'll never find a hardship, you'll never find a moment where God isn't faithful and God isn't the same that He always has been. No matter how men or women may fail you, no matter how people may wrong you or do it, whatever it may be, dear friend, let me remind you this morning, Jesus is the same. He always has been and He always will be, and He's working all things together for your good. And although we don't have happiness in the situation of loss, we don't have happiness in the situation of things changing and uncertainty and all those things, but I can walk through those things and I can still rejoice because there's still a a God who is worth serving. There is still a God who is good. There is still a God that will be with me through no matter what. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Dear friend, you can find joy in the darkest of circumstances, not because of the circumstances, but because the one who's in the circumstances with you. So Paul says, rejoice always. In Galatians 5:22, he calls this a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and here it is, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and it goes on. And so this is, rejoicing always is something that is impossible for the flesh. Something impossible apart from the power and the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit of God that I can't conjure up, I can't create, I can't force. But because I'm a born-again believer and because we got to walk with God, spend time with God, the Spirit of God works in our life. And what happens when you're filled with the Spirit of God, then this joy flows out of you. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's from Him. And when it's supernatural and it's from Him, then it's independent of life circumstances. That's why He commands, rejoice always, because it's really a command for you to be filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? You spend time with Him. It's a continual desperation. God, I need You. I need You more today than I ever have. I need You more tomorrow than I ever have. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah gives this word as they are rebuilding. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Listen to what he says. Final sentence here in this verse. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How's it our strength? I can't tell you the number of times I've been in hospital rooms or in funeral homes. Or standing in the front of the altar of our church or somewhere else. And I hear people who walk with the Lord. And they come up to me and say, Brother Chris, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard it, and you've heard it too in your life. They've just lost a loved one, be it a spouse or something. And they come up to me and say, I don't know how people do it who don't have the Lord. Who don't have the Lord to walk with them through it. And they're heartbroken and they're struggling. But oftentimes, those believers, they end up encouraging me more than I'm ever a source of encouragement to them. Because they have the Spirit of God in them. And in the midst of even sorrow and heartbrokenness and those things, it's hard to put your finger on it, but they're still at joy. They may not be smiling. They may not be jubilant. There's a sorrowness that they still have, but they have joy. And it's that joy that gives them strength, that allows them to walk through the hardest of times. Some of you have that testimony. Some of you have been in those situations. Many of you have been in those situations. You go, man, I just don't know how people do it without the Lord. Why? Because when we're walking with the Lord and we're faithful to the Lord Jesus, man, He walks with us. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're not excited about what's going on. We're not necessarily the path we would have chose, but what carries you through is the presence of God, and there's joy in the midst of tragedy, in hardship, and in change. And so, dear friend, you want to be in the middle of God's will? Surrender yourself to the Spirit of God and rejoice always. And I know this week, particularly we get around the holidays, and I'm just like you. I get homesick for Mamaw and Pepaw who've gone on to glory a long time ago. And my mom and stepdad and so many others. But by the grace of God, I'm still going to rejoice. Why? Because I know there's a better day coming. I know there's an eternal wait that's coming. And by the power of God, He'll walk with me through that, and you too. And so number one, the will of God is for you to always rejoice. Number two, the will of God is for you to always pray. For you to always pray. So verse 16, rejoice always, comma. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now let's be clear here, okay? I don't want you to drive home from church this morning with your head bowed and eyes closed, okay? That's not what Paul's, if you're driving, okay? If you're in the back seat, depending on who's driving, you may want to bow your head and close your eyes, right? Everybody, I wasn't looking at anybody. It got all sensitive all of a sudden. But there's a command here to pray without ceasing. Well, how do we do that? I can't walk around my day bowing my head and pray or whatever. The idea is this, and you may write this in the margin of your Bible. It's an attitude of prayer. It's an attitude of prayer. Now, here's the thing. That attitude actually moves us to pray. Okay? There's a difference in being a fan or an advocate of prayer and actually praying. I think this is when one of the struggles of one of the hindrances a lot of churches around our country of whenever they have prayer meetings that we talk more about what we ought to pray for than actually praying. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about actually earnestly praying, being conscious, being mindful of. Think about it like this. You remember maybe you or if you're raising kids or whatever the case may be of that young love, that first crush, whatever it may be, where they're actually able to communicate. And all their friends or whoever it is they used to tell all of life's details about, now when there's that new relationship and that new excitement, they want to tell them everything. They want to take pictures of everything, send it to them, all this sort of stuff, like all this communication back and forth. All of life, they want to tell them about it. That's the idea that's here, is that I'm so closely walking with the Lord that all of life, I want to bring to the Lord. All of life, I want to submit to God. Man, just sitting, driving down the road, and there's an ambulance that passes me. God, I don't know where that ambulance is going. I don't know what's going on, but I pray, God, you'd be with those individuals. Be with the first responders. Give them safety. Oh. And we see somebody in a grocery store, and man, they just, it's evident. Having a terrible day. We get terrible service somewhere. You see somebody's really upset and having a bad day, and it's praying for them. Oh, you may not. You may not call them over the table and lay hands on them. God, I pray for this lady. She's a terrible waitress today. I pray, God, that you'll help her serve me better. Like, right? But it's an attitude of prayer that as I'm walking through life, I'm quick to take everyday things unto the Lord Jesus. It's pray without ceasing. It's this open line of communication where we spend time in prayer. Romans 12:2 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, look at this, steadfastly in prayer. Why does he use the word steadfastly? Because it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It's not easy to continue in prayer. It's not easy to pray without ceasing. It is easy to get distracted. It is easy to get frustrated. It is easy to respond in the flesh. It is easy just to get away from God and the things of God. He says, continue steadfastly. Work at it. Be diligent to it. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And you think about the disciples as Jesus goes up and he's getting ready to go and be crucified, and he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, going to pray. And then he comes back and finds them asleep. You could not pray for 1 hour. And it happens multiple times. Because it takes diligence. Now, we need times where we get alone, the Bible says, in our prayer closet, and we need to get on our hands and knees if we're able to and cry out to God. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of response, and there's some of us this morning that come and need to kneel at the altar. Man, it's an earnest, dedicated, diligent time in which we bow our head, we close our eyes, and we take the things, the weight of things to the Lord. But it's that. It is not discounting that. It is not excluding that. But we need those moments where we're diligent in prayer. And by the way, the more of those moments you have, the more of the daily rhythm of even just going throughout my day of driving or whatever it is, and I'm just in a mindfulness and attitude of prayer. The more time that you have where you're setting aside, this is my time, I'm going to spend time in prayer, will set you up, will help deliver and help establish an attitude of prayer through the rest of your day. And by the way, the word amen is not hanging up the phone with the Lord. Right? I mean, we pray, amen. And the way the most of us deal with life or go walk back is it's, amen, I'm hanging up the phone. Now let me go live my life. Oh, now I gotta pray. Let me come back and pick up the phone. Amen, and hang it up again. The word amen is agreement. It's the idea of like we agree on this. A Christian never hangs up the phone. Everybody under 25, you used to take a phone and hang it up. My bad. Right? But oftentimes I don't know what to do now. Hang up the phone, right? Okay. Anyway, ADD really bad in that moment. But he says, pray without ceasing. It's never a moment in which we conclude the conversation. It is a moment in which we just continue to agree and we continue to ask God to do things that only He can. The will of God is to rejoice always. The will of God is to pray always. My challenge to you this week, do this. Find you a rubber band or something. Put it on your wrist, okay? Every time something happens, every time you see the rubber band, something that you wouldn't normally wear, okay? Just do it for 1 week. And either pop yourself and spend time praying, or maybe you just see it and it's a reminder, hey, pray, write the word pray on it or whatever it is, just to help you this week to consistently, every time something happens, good, positive, bad, not great, whatever it is, just life changes or things happen, man, how much can I spend time in prayer this week? And again, it's not necessarily, it's just driving down the road, walking through life. Somebody walks by you and it doesn't seem like they had a great day today. I'm going to keep walking, but I'm going to pray for them. God be with them. I don't even know who they are. Ask God to help you with that this week. Number three, the will of God is for you to always give thanks. Is to always give thanks. So verse 16, he says, rejoice always, comma. Pray without ceasing, comma. And in verse 18, in everything, give thanks. And then here's the phrase, this is the basis for the entire message, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What he has just said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. And then did you notice this? In everything. There's the qualifier. Ooh. Right, if he had just said give thanks, that would have helped, right? That would have been a little easier of going, man, I can always find something to be thankful for, and maybe not even about the situation, but I can think back to something. I can go find something else. But notice what he says, in everything, or some translation, in all circumstances, give thanks. Whew. Man, that's tough. Because I don't know about you, I'm sure this doesn't ever happen to you, but sometimes I get in circumstances that I'm not real thankful for. And I'm not really even sure what I'm supposed to be thankful for. I'm looking really hard. But here Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything. In everything. And I know this will be really profound and really, man, you're really looking forward to this. But in the Greek, it means everything. Well, fine. Maybe that'll come to you at lunch or something. I don't know. But in everything, give thanks. That's the command. As much as rejoice always and as much as pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, listen, you don't have to be thankful for the results of the situation, but you can be thankful that you have a God who walks with you through it. You can be thankful that there's a promise that's coming. There's a better day coming. He just says, in everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, Paul would write this. He said, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, I want you to look at this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So let's talk a moment, because there's some verses in the Bible that get used just at a whim's notice in all sorts of circumstances and places and things, right? And sometimes it's fitting and sometimes it's, you know, my most favorite example is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You show up on Friday night in the football game and they both have banners on the end of the field. Getting ready, both teams are going to run through a banner and they both have, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't know who to cheer for because I'm not sure which team God is on. Right? Because they both have the Bible verse, so they're both thinking often the same thing. God's going to give me strength to hit this guy in the mouth so we can win a football game, right? That's it, right? Because there's a context to it, okay? Similarly with this, it's a really well-known verse, but let's spend a moment and talk about this. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And oftentimes there's a lot of people that have this life verse, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But one of the things that we fail in is we fail to realize there's some key words, one particular key word here that we don't give a ton of thought to, okay? So listen to what he says, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Mark, underline, circle the word good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. By the way, the qualifier is those who are pursuing Christ. Those have a saving relationship with Jesus, pursuing Him. Okay, this is for believers, all right? But I want you to think about this word good. Because often this time, and we use this verse in all sorts of situations, all sorts of things, but then at times it also causes doubt. It causes struggle, it causes pain and heartache because we quote this whimsically and we quote it just offhand, and people are in the darkest days or the darkest seasons of their life, and it just causes an issue. It rubs them the wrong way. Why? Because we don't think about this word good. And this is what I need you to realize. You may write this down and mark it down somewhere, but this is the thought we've got to realize when it comes to that verse. You and I do not get to define what is good. You and I don't have the privilege, the right, the honor to define what is good. The Lord defines what is good. And now, how many of you know that sometimes His definition of good and my definition of good don't always line up? That sometimes His good does involve heartache and pain. Sometimes His good does involve difficulty. Hey, you know this to be true as parents. Because any parent worth their salt at some point disciplines their kid. Why are you doing it? You're doing it for their good. But if you ask your son or daughter, ain't nothing good about it, right? I promise you, as a redheaded stepchild, when I was getting my tail whipped, I didn't think there was anything good about it. I would not have defined it good. Now that I have kids, I'm in favor. I'm a believer, right? But we don't get to define what's good. The Lord does. And so why is that important? Because when we get in life's circumstances, unfortunately, we are limited by time and space. And we can't see what's coming. And we can't see what God is doing underneath the surface. And we can't see what God's doing with the pain and the heartache and the hardship. We can't see what God's doing with the uncertainty. We can't see what God is doing with the change. But dear friend, you have a promise from the Word of God that all things really do work together for good, His definition, not mine, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And when I realize that, then it makes it much easier in everything give thanks. Why? Because in the midst of loss, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of uncertainty, I can say, thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something that'll be for my good. God, I don't know why the change is coming, but listen to me, listen real carefully. Thank you, Lord, because it's an opportunity to trust you. Thank you, God, it's an opportunity to see you work. Thank you, God, for He's good. It may not feel like good. It may not even, we want the whys and all those sorts of things. We may not know that this side of heaven. But there's coming a day when the Bible says we will know even as we are known. And we'll be able to look back across life and have a better understanding of what the Lord was doing in and through our lives. Because He's working all things together for His good and for His glory. And so, you want to be in the middle of God's will? Rejoice always. Oh, I'm not happy about life circumstances, but there's one who walks with me through these things. He promises that there's a better day coming, and there I can find joy in knowing the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You want to be in the middle of God's will? Pray without ceasing. And spend this next week as much as you can. How much can you just bring to the Lord? God, be with that person. God, help me to respond here. I'm in the middle of a really heated discussion, just even thinking, God, give me the strength. Give me the strength to respond the way that I need to. And in everything, give thanks. And so, because I'm a fan of making things awkward, as you've already seen this morning, this is written to a church, and it's written to a group of believers gathered together. And so contextually, when you come together, rejoice always. Man, there ought to be joy in the house of God this morning. When you come together, it ought to be a chance where you're praying. Man, you see somebody as a visitor, man, pray for them. Never know what brought them in. You see a familiar face and an empty seat next to them, man, pray for them. You don't know what's going on. See somebody hasn't been here, or see an empty seat where somebody normally is, man, pray for them. You don't know what's going on. Man, you don't have anybody pray for you or pray for me, I'll take it. Pray for our folks that are all those sorts of things. Like as a church, we ought to pray without ceasing. But then in everything, give thanks. And so for just a moment, we're going to pretend we're around the giant Thanksgiving table of Second Baptist Church. And we're not going to make it take real long, but I just want to give a chance. Man, let's go around, not around the room, we're not going to make everybody, but give an opportunity just to real quick say it as best you can, as loud so that everybody can hear it. But this morning, somebody tell me something you're thankful for. Amen. Amen.
Salvation.
Salvation. Heard some children. Amen. Grandkids. Amen. Friends. Amen. Fellowship. Health. Amen. Thank you. What's that?
Teammates,
okay. Amen. Amen. What else? Okay. Good. Don.
Thankful for all the friends we have because of the attention.
Amen. Now it's awkward, right? What else? Parents. Okay. Technology. Amen. Amen. All right, two more. The cross.
Christian family, this church has been our second family. I know it's, man, such a blessing. I've gone through many issues in life without a second family. I can tell you it's a blessing to have.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, this week, as much as you can, be intentional. Look to the Lord, ask Him to give you strength and find joy in the midst of whatever you're facing. This week, as much as you can, carry an attitude of prayer. God, help me. Be mindful in all things. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And then just this week, I want to challenge you to do this. Be really intentional about going to somebody and expressing your gratitude for them. Something they've done in your life, maybe just been consistent, whatever it may be. Whether it's write a note, send a text, call them, or just go in person. My challenge to you this week is to give thanks. And then just be mindful as you go throughout this week. There's going to be ups and difficulties and all those sorts of things. And just, God, thank you for an opportunity to trust you. Opportunity to see you at work. And so we're going to close in just a moment, have a time of response, and we're going to sing, then we're going to take of the Lord's Supper, and just trying to ready our heart for this week. If you don't yet know Christ, if you don't yet have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross for me and for you. He was buried, and on the third day, He was raised from the dead, being He's the Son of God. And He wants to offer salvation to you. And if you've never responded to Him for salvation, today is a day of salvation. Do it today. And so here in a moment, we're going to pray. You can just pray right where you're at and ask God to save you. We're going to pray, and I'm going to stand down front. If you need to accept Christ today, or maybe you just got some questions, you're wrestling with salvation, I'm going to invite you to come. Take my hand and say, "Hey, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. I need to trust Him." Or maybe you've been saved recently. Come, say, "Pastor Chris, I've recently been saved." And we want to encourage you. We want to talk to you about it. Maybe you need to be baptized. You need to come. And then also, we're going to have a time of response where these steps are an opportunity for us to come and just bring some things to the Lord. I know there's pain, there's heartache, tough situations, different things. And you say, "Man, I've never gone forward before in a church and prayed." And there's nothing supernatural about these steps right here. Other than, I do think there's something when we're physically able to kneel in a position of humility and be intentional about seeking the Lord, I think God does some things. I just really believe that with all my heart. And so we're going to have a time for people to respond. If you want to come, you don't have to. You can pray right where you're at. God can hear you right where you are. There may be some who want to come and just kneel before the Lord. Maybe you've been hurt, struggling, whatever it is. And you just need to bring some things before the Lord and ask Him to do a work in your life that only He can. Okay, so let's pray. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for today. We thank You for how You love and care for us. And I pray, God, that this morning we would respond to You. We'd be obedient to You. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know You, God, I pray You'd save them today. Give them boldness to come. God, I pray for those that may be struggling, hurting, in need. Lord, help us to respond to You. Help us to walk this out this week and live this in a way that glorifies You. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place. We pray that, God, you'd lead, guide, direct. Give us boldness to take the steps that you want us to take. And we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Your main attitude of prayer, if you need somebody to pray for you, you come. If you just want to come and kneel at this front, you come. And you're dealing with some decision or whatever it may be, come now. This is a time for us to respond to Him.
What creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry? Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing His imminence, His name would burst from sea and sky. From rivers to the mountaintops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll see Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. When you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
amen. Well, this morning we are going to conclude our service with taking of the Lord's Supper. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite our deacons to come and help me as we observe this morning. Let me just make a couple of comments, if I can, about who the Lord's Supper is for. And so it is for those, first and foremost, that are born-again believers, that you've first trusted Christ. As parents, I always encourage parents, this is an opportunity. Oftentimes, kids maybe haven't come to that decision yet, and it's an opportunity. If you ever have your grandkids with you or something, they've not made a decision, it's important to talk about that, because this is given to the believers and for those who have confessed their faith in Christ. And so, first, it's for those who have been saved, genuinely born again. Secondly, those walking in obedience. And so, walking in obedience means I've taken that step of baptism, and I'm following the Lord in baptism. And then, as best I can, it's not that I'm saying as I take the Lord's Supper I'm perfect, but I'm walking with the Lord. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. I'm not running. I'm not living in clear, regular, habitual sin. But as best I can, I mean, I'm trying to walk in obedience to Christ. And then finally, part of that is we, as a church family, we open it up for anyone to take who are in a member. You don't have to be a member of our church, but you are a member of a church of like faith and order, okay? And similarly, meaning preaching the gospel of Jesus, the only way to salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone, following the Lord in believers' baptism through immersion, and so on and so forth. So anyway, that's just who we believe. The Bible leads us in this, and believe that's how it directs us. And so I'm going to invite our deacons. They're going to come and help us observe the Lord's Supper this morning. And so assuming you are in good standing or with all of those things I just talked about, you are open and invited to take of the Lord's Supper. And for whatever reason, you may say, I just don't feel like I'm in a place to be able to take it quite yet, then that's okay. You can let it pass on beside and so on and so forth, okay? All right, well, we are going to first, we'll pass out the bread and take that. We'll pass it out and then come back, and I'll pray for it, and then we'll take the bread, and then we'll do the same thing with the cup. And so let me open us, kind of pray over this time in general, and then we'll begin to pass out the elements. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy, and God, thank you for the opportunity to take this Lord's Supper today. I pray that we do it in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.